The trading floor is closed. It's time to cut through the chatter and find the clarity. From the studios of Farm Journal Broadcast, this is AgriTalk After the Bell. Here's your host, Chip Flory.
And welcome to a Friday edition of After the Bell, everybody. I am your host, Chip Flory. Oh, man, Davis, what a way to wrap up the week, dude. Some heavy pressure on that soy complex. That wasn't very easy to watch today.
Yeah, heavy is an understatement. I mean, that's quite the fall off there.
Yeah, no question about it. Some sharply lower prices in the soy complex. The dollar was just slightly higher. Crude was sharply higher. Stocks were sharply higher. At least they were the last time that I looked. Yeah, the Dow right now up about 360, 365 points higher in the Dow. So a big move. I mean, it's a significant move for the week. 2.5-3% to the upside, I would say. Yeah. Yeah. So it's a big move in the stocks. Corn was lower. Soybeans, meal, bean oil, sharply lower. Wheat was lower. Live cattle higher. Mm-hmm. Feeder cattle were mixed, and lean hogs were lower to wrap up the week. Dude, we're going to be talking dairy today.
I can't wait.
Dairy for a little while. What did milk futures do today? Yeah, milk futures were mixed, but you know when you look at the prices and you see all these low 14
right,
handles,
14-20 March contract.
Yeah, they're kind of like, eh. You know, it's still. We've been working up from the January lows, but it's still not a very good situation in that milk market. But we're going to be talking with Mike Opperman. Mike is the editor of Farm Journal's Milk. Obviously, we're going to cover some of the issues that are happening in the dairy industry, but we're going to get into some of the supply and demand factors that are influencing the milk market as well. So looking forward to the conversation with Mike. Want you to be part of it, too. Give us a call. It's 855-4-TALK-AG, 855-482-5524. And if you tweet at us, we'd love to see your tweets. Just make sure that you include hashtag ChipATB in the message. That way I will be sure to see it. You going to have a Friday Farm Fuel and Fert for us at the end of the show?
You know what, Chip? After our conversation on AgriTalk yesterday, I have more papers in front of me than Cheech and Chong, so we'll see how much I can get through. Lots to talk about. It was a big week at the Inputs Monitor, lots of coverage. And on the dairy side, I just want to say, you know, listeners, I use every day a single cup of yogurt to keep my digestive tract in healthy shape, and you should too. But yes, fuels and fertilizer for a segment.
Very good. Did you say Cheech and Chong?
More papers than Cheech and Chong, baby.
What moved the markets today, you idiot?
Well, Chip, after yesterday's strong gains in the U.S. dollar index erased early week losses, the spot month greenback softened a bit today. On the week, the U.S. dollar was just slightly higher and remained locked within the sideways trading range between 89.50 and 90.50.
Yeah, and, I was a little surprised that the dollar didn't do better than what it did today, to be quite honest with you. I mean, that jobs report that we had, non-farm payrolls up 313,000, minimal upside pressure on wages, kind of a best of both worlds kind of report. Good for the economy, which should have been better for the dollar today. So it looks to me like they want to keep that thing pointed basically sideways around that 90 even level in the spot month.
Well, Chip, chart watchers say last Friday's failed attempt to break out to the upside in May hard red winter wheat futures is looking more like a turning point for the wheat market. Monday's higher close was the only higher close for HRW this week after the May contract failed at resistance just under 550 last Friday. Even with futures more than a dime below last week's close, futures posted an inside week on the weekly bar chart, suggesting more sideways trading starting Monday.
Yeah, this felt like... It felt like the wheat market might have decided that it has done enough to account for the crop uncertainty, at least for now. Doesn't mean that the dry conditions out in the plains won't be an influence on the market later, but for now, I think they've decided they've done enough.
All right. Well, the pressure on wheat futures came despite a continued warm, windy, and dry period in the U.S. Southern Plains. And as traders headed home into the weekend, forecasters saw low chances for rain in the HRW wheat belt in the week ahead. May hard red futures were 12.75 cents lower at 520.5. May soft red fell a dime to close at 489.25. May spring wheat was off 7.25 cents at 617.5. Corn futures ran into a round of profit-taking and long liquidation, with spillover pressure from sharp losses in soybeans and wheat pulling corn lower. Even with lower prices today, May corn futures gained about a nickel this week, with December corn futures up just a couple of cents. Yesterday's big upside reversal in corn futures was driven by the much bigger-than-expected cut to expected 2017-18 corn carryover, with a 175 million bushel increase in estimated corn exports leading the way. That demand continued this morning when USDA announced the sale of 260,000 metric tons of U.S. corn for delivery to an unknown destination in the current marketing year.
Yeah, the U.S. is absolutely dominating the corn export market right now. It looks like maybe that drought down in Argentina, maybe it actually did happen, and it's turning into more demand for U.S. corn. We are on a heck of a roll in selling corn right now. If we can keep it going next week, we should be able to keep this corn market grinding to the upside.
Market watchers were generally impressed by the ability of corn futures to see just limited losses today with bean prices under such heavy pressure. Some of the credit for that was given to the ongoing drought conditions in Argentina and by the strength of the U.S. economy, which could lead to even stronger domestic corn use in the year ahead.
You know, that is such a good point. We cannot forget that. Domestic corn demand is really good, too. USDA upped the corn for ethanol by 50 million bushels in yesterday's supply and demand report. Boom. Stronger economy, consumers are driving more, we use more fuel, we use more ethanol.
May corn futures were 3 cents lower today at 390.5. July corn was down 2.5 cents at 398. December corn closed at 407.25, down 3 cents on the day. Bean prices got smoked today. Market watchers say it was a delayed reaction to yesterday's 25 million bushel increase in estimated 2017-18 bean carryover. Adding pressure is the forecast for some late season rains to finally make their way into Argentina. The price pressure came despite word from USDA this morning that China bought 183,000 metric tons of U.S. beans and an unknown destination bought 205,000 tons of U.S. beans, both for delivery in the current marketing year, Chip.
Yeah, so what happened to beans today? They got what?
Smoked.
Was that another Cheech and Chong reference right there? What's going on today, dude?
It's a Friday show. It's a Friday
show. Yeah, great bean sales. Great bean sales. Outstanding to see China back in the and buying more beans. Makes me wonder if some of the guys that are thinking bean demand will be backloaded this year, maybe they're going to be right, and we can't forget this. Chinese importers might be ramping up some of those bean buys ahead of Chinese retaliation on imports of U.S. ag products. I still don't think that soybeans will be at the center of that retaliation, but it might be. So importers are getting out in front of that potential action.
After today's sharp losses, May soybeans ended the week about 30 cents below last Friday's close. New crop beans, however, were down less than a dime on the week as spreaders unwound old crop, new crop bean spreads. Today, May soybean futures were 24 and 3/4 cents lower at 10.39 and a quarter. July beans fell 24 and 3/4 cents to close at 10.48 and a quarter. November soybeans closed at 10.30 even, down 15 cents on the day. April live cattle futures pivoted on both sides of 123 ahead of yesterday's sharp price losses. Today, the front month contract got all of yesterday's losses back with reports of cash cattle trade in the Northern Plains and Iowa at 128 to wrap up the week. April cattle were $1.35 higher at 123.12.5, and June cattle firmed 102.5 to close at 114.30. April feeders 15 cents higher at 143.15. On the snout side, rising average hog slaughter weights and pressure on pork product prices resulted in some pressure on lean hog futures today. April lean hogs 22.5 cents lower, 67.85. June hogs fell 57.5 cents, chip to close at 77.67.5.
All right. Thank you very much, Davis. When we come back, we're going to be talking about what's going on in this dairy market and the dairy industry. That's with Mike Opperman, editor of Farm Journal's Milk on ATB.
Hey, Bill, any advice to control tough weeds and rootworms?
That's easy, Jim. Buy two, save three.
Wait, for weeds and rootworms?
Buy two, save three. Combine your Impact or new Impact Z herbicide purchase with a qualifying insecticide and save $3 per acre.
Buy two, save three. That is good advice.
For details, go to buy2save3.com. Impact, Impact Z, and Buy Two Save Three are trademarks owned by Amvac Chemical Corporation. All rights reserved. Impact Z is a restricted-use pesticide. Always read and follow label instructions.
Putting in a hard day's work, doing the right thing, treating people with respect. American values as true as the wind that blows through our farms. For nearly 30 years, there's been an American company working side by side with farmers to harness the power of wind, creating local jobs and new reliable sources of income for small towns. We are NextEra Energy Resources, an American company proud to bring clean, renewable energy home. Learn more at NextEraEnergyResources.com.
Sorting through information on weed resistance is hard work. FJWeedControlSolutions.com is the answer. Farm Journal partnered with Bayer to create your go-to source for up-to-date, concise weed control solutions. Listen to some of the latest advice shared.
Palmer amaranth was voted the most troublesome weed in 2017. It has devastated cotton and soybean yields in the South and East and is rapidly infiltrating the Midwest. Left unchecked, this weed can obliterate corn and soybean yields. Is Palmer amaranth in your field? How do you know and how do you stop it? Visit us online for more information on Palmer amaranth and why you should take aggressive action against this troublesome pest.
See the whole story and more at FJWeedControlSolutions.com. Fresh updates to keep you on top of today's fast-changing weed control news. Timely and accurate information from sources you can depend on. Visit FJWeedControlSolutions.com. Brought to you by Farm Journal and Bayer.
Where do you turn to protect your bottom line? It's time you turn to Pro Farmer for easy-to-follow market news and advice for both cash marketers and futures and options users. Visit TryProFarmer.com today for a no-obligation four-week trial to the nation's number one marketing newsletter. That's TryProFarmer.com. ProFarmer is not a brokerage firm, so you're not going to get a lot of in-and-out trading advice or elaborate option strategies. You will get rock-solid fundamental market outlook and recommendations that farmers have relied on for generations. Stop sifting through mountains of confusing analysis. ProFarmer selects only the most important news to save you time and keep you focused on what really matters. Make better informed marketing decisions to protect your bottom line. Try the ProFarmer newsletter absolutely free. Visit TryProFarmer.com. That's TryProFarmer.com.
NextEra Energy Resources, an American company working side-by-side with farmers and ranchers to harness the power of the wind and create local jobs for small towns. Learn more at NextEraEnergyResources.com.
And welcome back to AgriTalk After the Bell, everyone. I am your host, Chip Flory. Corn was lower today, soybean sharply lower, soybean meal, bean oil both lower today, wheat was lower. Live cattle were higher, feeder cattle were mixed, and lean hogs were lower in today's trade. We're going to be talking dairy. Mike Opperman is the editor of Farm Journal's Milk. He joins me now. Mike, welcome to ATB. How are you today, buddy?
Hey, Chip. How are you?
Doing good. Doing good. You know, a couple of things have been happening this week, Mike, and I've thought about you a couple of times and trying to figure out exactly what the data and the happenings that we're seeing might mean to the milk market and to the milk industry. And one of them came this morning with that jobs report. Did you see that?
Yeah, that was interesting. I'm not sure what to make of that yet. You know, the jobs on dairy farms are a little bit different, but
yeah,
it certainly shows what opportunities are out there for folks that want to work on farms.
Yeah. And the other thing that it does is I'm just wondering if there's any connection between the strength of the U.S. economy to demand for dairy products. The stronger the economy, do we see stronger cheese demand, milk demand? And when I'm thinking about cheese demand, I'm thinking about, you know, maybe that family of four extra or ordering an extra pizza a week or something
right,
like that. I don't know. Is there any correlation?
There is. We see certainly some of the higher value products. We'll see a bump in demand when people have a little bit more change in their pocket. The biggest thing that we see is, like you said, that family of four ordering a little bit more or an extra pizza, or you're going out to a restaurant maybe another time a week or a couple times a week. And that's where we see a lot of the bump in demand is when people get out of the home and start to eat out. And we'll see that when there's more money in their pocket, especially if they go to Pizza Hut, because I don't know if you saw, but Pizza Hut's going to add 20% more cheese to their pizzas. So if they do that, it's kind of a double whammy then, yeah. So
yeah, no, I hadn't seen that. You know, they mm-hmm. so some of these chains are making some interesting changes in their offerings. I mean, I'm sure that you saw what McDonald's is doing with their fresh, the fresh patties in some locations. I want to talk to Henderson from Drover's about that sometime next week on the show. And you've got Pizza Hut adding cheese. Domino's has always been a fantastic supporter of the dairy industry. I mean, it's we need to keep tabs of what these guys are doing on a large scale basis, change what to change their menu items.
Yeah, it has a tremendous impact. You know, Domino's I think is now the number one pizza, and they're certainly the number one pizza delivery chain in the U.S., maybe globally. But a lot of that, you know, is work that Dairy Management Incorporated has done to kind of influence and help develop new products and try to drive that demand on a more of a global or larger scale through some of those retail brands and chains, rather than going, you know, trying to increase fluid consumption. They're doing it by, you know, Pizza Hut adding more cheese and Domino's adding more cheese and Taco Bell putting cheese in their, you know, more cheese in their tacos and things like that. So we're seeing some uptake in some of those different product categories. So, having certainly a better economy helps all of that.
Yeah, you bet. You bet. You know, you mentioned the fluid milk, and I don't want to say that the industry has given up on expanding fluid milk consumption, but that is a tough nut to crack right there, isn't it?
It is. Yeah, and you know it is when experts say that, well, the downward trend is slowing, and that's a positive thing. You know, we're only down 1%, you know, last year versus 3 or 4 in the years past. And, you know, if you look at fluid milk, I pulled some numbers since 2000, we're down about 43 pounds per capita on fluid milk, which is about 5 gallons. That's a lot of milk when you think about consumption across the U.S. And if we could just kind of, if we could even, obviously we're slowing that trend, but if we could even have a positive uptake in that, boy, that'd have a significant impact on the industry. Thank God that, you know, we're finding out that fat is good for you again. I know I'm happy about that.
Amen, brother.
You know, I heard you talking about having extra yogurt in the morning. You know, we're up 7 pounds and we're almost double consumption in yogurt since 2000. So cheese is up. Unfortunately, ice cream is down. You know, I'm doing my part to keep that ice cream demand up. But so thankfully, some of those other product categories have been trending upwards, and that's soaking up a lot of the milk. But and when you think of domestic demand, you know, we always talk about exports and how important exports are, and they are. But, you know, 85% of the milk stays home. So that domestic demand has to be a huge part of getting rid of some of the supply.
Yeah, no question about it. Hey, on the fluid milk, does it make any difference if they're if people are drinking whole milk, 2%, 1%, or skim milk? It would seem to me that with the demand for the solids and the milk fats, that you would want to see an increase in skim milk consumption.
It you know, there is some stratification in that, and certainly you want to see the solids come out of the market, because, you know, we've got enough solids and inventory and so forth that you'd like to see some of that leave. But, you know, certainly some of the whole milk demand numbers have strengthened a little bit, as I said, as that the news that, you know, fat isn't necessarily bad for you. Some of those whole milk numbers have started to bump up a little bit. But we just want, you know, we just want people to drink milk. Chocolate milk, strawberry, whatever it is, and getting milk back into schools is, I think, really going to be beneficial. You know, so that schools can even have that 1% chocolate milk or other flavored milks in schools. I think that's going to have a significant impact when you think about that across the marketplace.
Oh, it's got to be a huge impact. I mean, I can't believe that some of the schools aren't offering milk in with the lunch. That just seems so foreign to me.
Right. Well, I always go back to the Los Angeles school district that took chocolate milk off the menus, and they had such an environmental waste problem because kids were throwing their milk away. They didn't want it anymore. So they decided to put chocolate milk back into their school lunch programs, and it almost took care of that problem. So, you know, that kind of tells you right there that, well, you know, if we offer kids it doesn't have to be whole milk, chocolate, you know, but even if a little bit that influences the taste,
yes.
You know, not only does that drive disappearance and demand, but, you know, it sets them up for a better chance of a lifetime milk consumption. As they get more accustomed to drinking milk at a younger age. So usually that tends to stick with them through adult. So that has a long-term benefit.
I mean, that lifetime milk consumption, you're getting a big return out of me because I start every day with milk. I mean, there is just no question about it. But what about those flavors, Mike? You said that they're important at for the younger consumers, the kids that are mm-hmm. consuming milk. But has it really? I look at that strawberry milk and I'm just thinking there's no way I could drink it. I mean, I'm not even a fan of chocolate milk. I just like the milk, but it's pretty important out there, isn't it? Oh, go ahead, Davis, jump in.
Yeah, if I'm going to reach for, you know, the white milk, the chocolate milk, or the strawberry, it's like a party in your mouth, dude. It's like the difference between Rice Krispies and Fruit Loops. You got to try this. It's worth it.
Seriously.
Yes.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It's delicious.
Okay.
Yeah. How about you?
Well, athletes too. You know, there's been a big drive to have chocolate milk consumption with people that are working out as a way to replenish some of those lost fluids. And, you know, that's really kind of seen a nice uptick in chocolate milk consumption too. So.
Yeah. And some of the high protein milk or dairy based products that are out there, it's pretty cool. Very cool. So, yeah, and we're doing all of this because we need to find something that's going to help us use up more of the milk that we're producing out here, because we are producing a lot of milk right now.
Oh, absolutely. You know, I don't know what the number, we're 40-plus straight months of increase in milk production over on year-over-year levels. So, you know, we got to find a place for it. You know, there's no indication anyway that it's going to slow down. You know, slaughter prices or slaughter markets have been up a little bit here in the last month or so. And, you know, there's more herds going out of business, but a lot of those cows are just going to other places.
Right.
And certainly our heifers and replacements are at record numbers. So we don't see cow numbers falling off too much soon. So, and milk per cow continues to go up. We're hitting, you know, spring where we get into a milk flush. So there still is a ton of milk and a lot of milk out there that needs to get soaked up by chocolate milk and strawberry milk and everything else that's out there.
All right. Well, when we come back, I want to talk a little bit more about the supply that we've got on the market. What are some of the cycles in the supply on an annual basis that we need to watch for? And then I want to talk processing. I want to talk some processing because I talked to Dick Earl earlier this week. I think you know him. he's talking about some expansion in the processing capacity here in the States. We'll talk about that next.
Oh, Ed, see the headlines?
Yep. Credenz soybeans are designed using smart genetics.
Look, state-of-the-art breeding advances the best germplasm.
Plus, tailored varieties for any field conditions with choice in herbicide-tolerant traits.
And Credenz soybeans come backed by Bayer's ongoing innovation.
Want increased yields and ROI? Plant the smarter soybean.
Talk to an authorized Credenz retailer or discover the right Credenz variety at credenz.bayer.us.
Always read and follow label instructions.
Thank you for calling XYZ Financial. To pay your credit card bill, say, "Hey, Bill." I'm sorry, I couldn't understand you. To speak with an operator, press 0. Gracias por elegir español. Para pagar su factura de tarjeta de crédito.
Your Farm Dog USA assistant won't be able to pay your credit card bill, but he will be able to help around the farm by picking up drop tools, managing your herd, and opening latch gates. Learn more at pharmdog.org.
It's time for ATB's Tech Talk. Pro Farmer Senior Economist Dan Vaught joins us. Dan, what's the market move that matters most today, buddy?
Hey, Chip, I'm looking at May corn futures today. May corn fell from its $4.30 high last July to a January low at $3.53¾ per bushel. The following rally has been quite impressive, especially after it decisively topped its 40-day moving average on January 24th. It surged to 386.5 on March 1st, which a technician could view as the flagpole on a traditional bull flag chart formation. But instead of moving sideways to lower over the next few days, it kept inching upward. In my experience, such patterns seem particularly powerful, so it wasn't terribly surprising to see yesterday's big follow-through. Given the market's recent performance and despite today's dip, I'm inclined to think May corn is going to test the $4 level in the near future.
Very cool. I know there's a lot of people that are out there that are liking hearing that. Thanks, buddy. You have a good weekend. That is Pro Farmer Senior Economist Dan Vaught.
Are you paying too much for fuel and fertilizer? Verify you're getting the best price with Input Monitor from Farm Journal Media. Knowing the low, average, and high price quotes from dealers in your area for fertilizers and farm fuels can save you thousands of dollars. Input Monitor gives you an easy, anonymous method to compare fertilizer and fuel prices from across the Midwest. Plus, get grower-focused buying advice, local pricing charts, industry news, and purchase alerts so you don't miss any critical buying opportunities. Visit InputsMonitor.com for subscription information. That's InputsMonitor.com. Unbiased and farmer-focused, Input Monitor is the newest and best tool to help growers buy inputs at exactly the right time. Before you book your next fertilizer or fuel contract, verify you're getting a fair price with Inputs Monitor. Learn more at InputsMonitor.com. That's InputsMonitor.com.
What do you think, sweets? Should I wear this dress or the green dress tonight? Oh, really? You thought the green one looked better? This is the green dress. I swear.
Your Farm Dog USA assistant won't be able to help your wife make intelligent fashion decisions, but he will be able to help around the farm by picking up drop tools, managing your herd, and opening latch gates. Learn more at farmdog.org. That's PHARMdog.org.
Find it now at shopfarmjournal.com. Brand new to the shop is The Best of Tractor Tales, as seen each week on U.S. Farm Report. This 2-DVD set features dozens of classic machines and the collectors who bring them back to life. You'll get one DVD that's all green, The Best of John Deere. The second DVD includes classics like Alice Chalmers and many more. Buy one DVD for $29.95 or buy the set for $49.95. Order today at shopfarmjournal.com or call toll-free 877-847-9599. You can find it now at shopfarmjournal.com.
Maximize your grain quality, yield, and profit this season with ProSaro Fungicide from Bayer.
And welcome back to ATB, everybody. I am your host, Chip Flory. We're talking with Mike Opperman from Farm Journal's Milk today. Before we get back to Mike, let's get a market recap from Davis.
Well, Chip, May hard red winter wheat futures were 12¾ cents lower at 520.5, with May SRW down a dime to close at 489¼. May corn futures were 3 cents lower at 390.5. New crop corn closed at 407¼, down 3 cents on the day. May soybean futures were 24¾ cents lower at 1039¼. Novi beans closed at 1030 even, down 15 cents on the day. April cattle were $1.35 higher at 123.12½. April feeders 15 cents higher at 143.15. And April lean hogs were 22½ cents lower at 67.85. There's your quick market recap. Back to you, Kimo Sabe.
All right. Thank you very much, Davis. Talking with Mike Opperman today. Mike is the editor for Farm Journal's Milk. Mike, I'm looking at the futures quotes right now. We've got the March contract, 14.19 a hundredweight, April 14.03, and then it firms back up again into that 14.16, 14.69 for July. And by, for June, by the time we get out to the July, we're finally over $15 at 15¼. Those aren't too spiffy prices for your average dairy producer, are they?
No, they're not. You know, but even at 15, even at the higher level, at that $15 level through July, that's still below cost of production for a lot of folks. So it's not a favorable situation, certainly in the dairy industry.
Yeah. Yeah. Hey, what are we were talking about demand earlier and trying to build demand out there, or at least slow the decline in fluid milk consumption. When you look at some of these brand labels that are out there at some of the at the grocery store level, I mean, what are the products that are finding that foothold, and what are those products doing differently on marketing that are allowing them to grow some of their demand?
You know, probably the poster child for new products that have done really well is Fairlife. I don't know if you've seen that in stores around, but you know, it's a higher protein product. It tastes good. The chocolate, we were talking about chocolate milk earlier. The chocolate Fairlife is fantastic. But they found a niche. You know, they found an area where consumers, or there's demand by consumers. You know, they want a higher protein product. They want something that tastes good. And they've really fit that niche. Now that takes, you know, that Fairlife brand wasn't developed overnight. You know, it was right. A lot of product development, a lot of marketing, a lot of testing went into that. So, while that's a great success story and has done well, there's, you know, literally dozens that are on the cutting room floor that didn't make it. And it takes a long time for those products to get up and running, but that certainly is one. And there's a lot of marketing dollars behind that to help drive that brand and develop it. But that's certainly the poster child for a product that's done really well.
Yeah, marketing and marketing dollars. Is the private mm-hmm. industry leading the way here, or is it the dairy organizations?
I would say the answer to that is yes.
Okay.
You know, there's a race to try to fill that niche and become the next Fairlife that I think a lot of private companies are trying to reach and attack and get some of that consumer dollar. But there's a lot of dairy organizations, like I mentioned DMI earlier, that are putting a lot of money and a lot of checkoff dollars into research and development to find those products that will help drive demand that meet that consumer demand and consumer niche. So I think it's a two-headed monster of trying to develop demand and fill that market.
Yeah. You know, I had written Fairlife down and circled it. You know, the other thing that strikes mm-hmm. me about Fairlife, Mike, is that product is proving that it's not really a price issue. I mean, because you look at a half a gallon right. jug of milk and it's pretty cheap, if you ask me. But that Fairlife, that's a step up on the pricing ladder, and they're doing a heck of a job of selling it.
Right. I think it comes down to they've met a consumer demand. Yep. You know, it's a higher protein product, and that's what consumers are looking for. A branded product that has struggled a little bit is the Dairy Pure brand from Dean. You know, they've tried to brand that, basically brand a commodity product.
Right.
But when you look at it in the store shelves here in Fort Atkinson, Wisconsin, it's considerably more than a gallon of milk that might be a generic brand. And, right. and sometimes, you know, when it's a commodity product like that and one brand is more than the other, folks tend to shy away from that a little bit. But when you consider a product like Fairlife that is more expensive, but it delivers those extra attributes, you know, the higher protein in relation to fat and so forth, I think that really that encourages or consumers feel better or are more willing to pay that extra dollar or whatever to right. Get that product.
Right. Speaking of Dean Foods, what mm-hmm. is going off? It going on? It sounds like they cut off some producers.
They did earlier this week. About 80 producers in Indiana, Pennsylvania, New York got a letter notifying them that their contract with Dean would be up in 90 days from the date of that letter. So when you talk to Dean, the explanation is that there's some other fluid milk processing facilities that are coming online that they aren't going to be able to match or compete with in the marketplace. And that was their reason for terminating some of the contracts for those producers. Now, you know, they don't come out and say who that processing plant is, but there is Walmart facility that's going up in Fort Wayne shortly, within, you know, a couple of months' time. Dean is a major supplier to Walmart, so all indications and kind of back talk are that, you know, that was that Walmart facility was one of the reasons why those producers were cut off. So it's a sad situation for those producers. Where here we are again. You know, this time last year there was about 100 producers in Wisconsin, New York, who were cut off because markets had gone away. And we're back at it again. And it's not, it's a cycle that I would hope we get out of, certainly.
Yeah. Yeah. And can we drill down a little bit further and get even more granular and take a look at what happened down there at Atlanta Fresh Dairy with Whole Foods? Mm-hmm. That's an interesting story. I mean, Whole Foods came to Atlanta Fresh and basically mm-hmm. said, listen, we're looking for something very specific, grass-fed, organic, blah, blah, blah. All, mm-hmm. And they were talking about fluid milk here. Mm-hmm. Whole Foods signs a big contract with Atlanta Fresh and then pulls out and left that dairy.
Don't you just feel terrible for them? Like,
I do. I do.
Yeah.
I mean, that was such a blow down there. And, you know, honestly, it feels like a blow to the organic grass-fed dairy, which has been one of those growth areas, right?
Right, yeah. And, you know, it's, you know, if you look at Whole Foods and, you know, when the acquisition of Whole Foods by Amazon, if you look at that situation a little bit, you know, originally when Whole Foods got in and it got involved with Atlanta Fresh, the whole idea was buying local, right? And
right.
creating a market for local
or at
products.
Least regional, yeah.
Right, but that kind of yeah. goes against the modus operandi for Amazon. You know, right. they're about national distribution, and you know they've written the book a couple times on efficient distribution model, and it just feels like. That change or that paradigm shift in distribution kind of unfortunately left Atlanta Fresh sitting on the outside, you know, looking at a market that just evaporated after they invested millions of dollars into their facility.
Millions.
And I think it's you know, we look at Walmart coming into the market. It's an interesting dynamic when you look at you know, the pork and poultry industry has been down this road before with the Walmarts and the Krogers and the bigger box chains getting involved in the protein marketplace. And I think dairy is just coming right along behind. And hopefully, you know, some of the things that are driven by some of the big box stores that have kind of revolutionized distribution and supply chain models, I'm hopeful that the dairy industry can survive it and not go down, not be forced to make some of the changes that some of the other protein markets have.
Right, right. Hey, we've only got about a minute left here, Mike, but do you see any bright lights out there that are indicating that financial conditions are going to get better in this market?
Well, I think it's going to be a slow path up. You know, we're seeing... You know, New Zealand has fallen off in production. They had some dry weather down there. They're kind of like Argentina is, you know, in the row crop market. And so that's had an impact in global production. But, you know, the EU is still going gangbusters in production. So we have to get some of this product out of inventory. And until that happens, you know, Mike North will tell you that until that happens, we're not going to see much of a change in milk price. So I'm still hopeful that, you know, late Q2, Q3, we'll start to see some uptick in milk prices as some of this product gets out of the market and catches up with production. But like I said, it's not going to be a big ramp up, but it's going to be kind of a slow progression upward. There's been a lot of volatility taken out of the market with the global supply and demand.
Right.
So it takes a while to go down, and it takes a while to come back up.
It takes a while to come back. Mike, let's do this more often. Thank you, buddy. We'll talk to you again soon. That is Mike Opperman, the editor of Farm Journal's Milk. Friday Farm Fuels and Ferts next.
Where do you turn to protect your bottom line? It's time you turn to Pro Farmer for easy-to-follow market news and advice for both cash marketers and futures and options users. Visit tryprofarmer.com today for a no-obligation 4-week trial to the nation's number one marketing newsletter. That's tryprofarmer.com. Pro Farmer is not a brokerage firm, so you're not going to get a lot of in-and-out trading advice or elaborate option strategies. You will get rock-solid fundamental market outlook and recommendations that farmers have relied on for generations.
Stop sifting through mountains of confusing analysis. ProFarmer selects only the most important news to save you time and keep you focused on what really matters. Make better informed marketing decisions to protect your bottom line. Try the ProFarmer newsletter absolutely free. Visit TryProFarmer.com. That's TryProFarmer.com.
Hi, I'm Ag Day host Clinton Griffiths, and I invite you to join me each morning as we cover the nation's food system, from fields of green to orchards of orange and livestock everywhere in between. America runs on agriculture, and here at Ag Day, agriculture's what we do best. Listen as our analysts track the markets, learn about innovations in technology and sustainability, and live the country lifestyle through the eyes of rural America. Join me, Clinton Griffiths, for Ag Day, the country experience.
You're going to need me.
You're going to need us.
All of us.
You're going to need our help with your water, your air, your food.
You're going to need our determination, our compassion.
You're going to need the next generation of leaders to face the challenges the future will bring.
And we promise we'll be there when you need us.
Today, 4-H is growing the next generation of leaders. Support us at 4-H.org.
The mighty Prosaro, king of fungicides. Its fast action and long residual make it the keeper of grain quality and yield, the hammer of head and leaf diseases, the number one reducer of scab. When your goal is greater wheat quality and higher yield, use Prosaro fungicide, and the crown of higher profit will be yours. Learn more at prosaro.us. Always read and follow label instructions.
Top Third Ag Marketing puts the farmer first with a marketing plan that manages risk in every market condition. We protect the downside, and we're more than just about puts. We'll use a strategy based on the current market conditions and your circumstances. Make your plan today. Let Top Third help.
Top Third Ag Marketing, farmer first with a plan for every market. Call us at 877-TT-HEDGE today. That's 877-TT-HEDGE. Futures trading involves the substantial risk of loss.
Sorting through information on weed resistance is hard work. FJWeedControlSolutions.com is the answer. Farm Journal partnered with Bayer to create your go-to source for up-to-date, concise weed control solutions. Listen to some of the latest advice shared.
Palmer amaranth was voted the most troublesome weed in 2017. It has devastated cotton and soybean yields in the South and East and is rapidly infiltrating the Midwest. Left unchecked, this weed can obliterate corn and soybean yields. Is Palmer amaranth in your field? How do you know, and how do you stop it? Visit us online for more information on Palmer amaranth and why you should take aggressive action against this troublesome pest.
See the whole story and more at FJWeedControlSolutions.com. Fresh updates to keep you on top of today's fast-changing weed control news. Timely and accurate information from sources you can depend on. Visit FJWeedControlSolutions.com. Brought to you by Farm Journal and Bayer.
What is the Corvus Zone? It's the weed-free area between the rows. But only when you use Corvus, the one corn herbicide that delivers three levels of grass and broadleaf weed defense. Burn down, residual, and reactivation with rain. You want season-long control of the toughest weeds, including resistant ones? Use Corvus pre-emergence corn herbicide, America's preferred choice. Corvus is a restricted-use pesticide. Always read and follow label instructions.
So, Mr. Woof, is it? Are you absolutely sure you want to take your money out of this strategic financial portfolio and put it all into dog toys?
Your Farm Dog USA assistant won't be able to make savvy financial decisions for you. But he will be able to help around the farm by picking up drop tools, managing your herd, and opening latch gates. Learn more at pharmdog.org.
Everybody's working for the weekend. Everybody wants a new romance.
Hey, welcome back to AgriTalk After the Bell, everybody. I'm your host, Chip Flory. We are headed straight for the weekend right now, Davis. I tell you, can't get here fast enough, and it's almost here, bud.
It's almost here. It's right around the corner. And I just want to throw out, I'm no health expert here, but I have read just a little bit. I think that what the deal is with, after a workout, drinking chocolate milk or even strawberry milk, dare I say it, for those of you who dare to drink pink milk, myself included, the body uses the sugars to sort of energize to carry the proteins back to the muscles so you get a quicker recovery, and you look more like me in a big hurry with giant bulging muscles is the idea. But seriously, the sugars help with recovery is why they throw a little bit of chocolate milk, because it seems counterintuitive. I'm working out here. I'm trying to look good, stay fit. Why would I add some sugar? Well, you know, the body needs a little sugar, needs a little fat to do what it's supposed to do. These are the things that fuel it.
That's right. That's right. And that chocolate milk's got it all.
Oh, it's delicious, too.
Yeah. 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 No doubt. No doubt. It was an interesting conversation with Mike today. No question about it. And the losing some of the processing markets that we talked about, and some of the processors cutting off contracts with producers out there. It started when we saw the change in the Canadian milk pricing system up there. Mm-hmm. Started in Wisconsin, and now Dean Foods in Indiana, Pennsylvania, New York, and that very granular example down there with Atlantic Fresh. Those are some very unfortunate, and especially for Atlantic. I mean, they put in millions and millions of dollars into processing and producing a very specific product for Whole Foods, and then they came in and Amazon bought Whole Foods and cut them off. I mean, just crazy.
Dirty pool.
Crazy stuff. Yeah. All right, buddy, let's get to it. Friday Farm Fuels and Fertilizer Report.
Give me five, give me that one, that is hot.
The Friday Farm Fuels and Fertilizer Report is brought to you by Pro Farmers Inputs Monitor. Cutting-edge analysis, risk management, and the tools you need to succeed. For weekly updated fuels and fertilizer prices from across the Midwest and in your crop district, visit ProFarmer.com. And now, Chip?
Yes?
The Friday Farm Fuels and Fertilizer Report. As I said, a big week. Lots of info. A couple of key reports came out of EIA. One was the short-term energy report. I just want to hit that really quick. This is an outlook that talks about fuels, about other things. Crude oil is what I'm looking at here. EIA now projects U.S. crude oil production will average 10.7 million barrels per day in 2018, which would mark the highest annual average U.S. crude oil production level, surpassing the previous record of 9.6 million barrels per day set in 1970. But EIA went on to forecast 2019 crude oil production at 11.3 million barrels per day. I mean, it's amazing what is happening here. And as I said on AgriTalk yesterday, listeners, you might want to check out that show. This is a demand-led rally as much as it is from OPEC's cutbacks on production. We've got some terrific things happening on the crude oil side there and surprisingly high production numbers. The same is true of natural gas, which is nearing record levels of production as well. I like that for the fertilizer side because we're definitely seeing some higher fertilizer prices.
Sure.
If we're talking about the stuff we went over in this week's Inputs Monitor that you, beloved listener, can go look at ProFarmer.com, we started out with propane. Increased U.S. exports and retail LP prices. There's been a rebalancing in the market there, and we talked about how the world price is now impacting the U.S. retail price, which isn't necessarily a good thing for us, but EIA did a really nice little workup on that. Weekly fertilizer bulletin. Turns out South American weather risk is involved here in corn prices, Chip. Have you heard anything about the South American weather thing? It's weird.
Yeah. I mean, it seems like there's a drought in Argentina or something.
Fertilizer industry caught wind of that. They think that's going to drive prices higher because it'll increase crop prices down there.
I saw
increased demand for fertilizers.
You want to talk about being late to a conversation?
Yeah.
Oh.
We titled the article "Headline Chasers Behind the Curve," but that doesn't mean that they're wrong. at the same time, we've got Minnesota Governor Dayton proposes groundwater protection measures in Minnesota following 17 public meetings, engaged over 1,500 farmers, landowners, and other Minnesotans in conversations across the state. Governor Dayton, Ag Commissioner Fredrickson today, which was Tuesday, proposed a new groundwater protection measure. There's a map. There's all kinds of stuff, details on that. I don't even know where to you know what? Go to ProFarmer.com, click on the inputs tab, and just check some of these out because there's some stuff happening. And I also did tweet out NH3 and potash, a little chart. I tweeted it out to our Twitter here just a moment ago. We're at parity here. And if you look at the very end of the chart here, my guess is that NH3 firms above potash as far as it had gone down below. Mm-hmm. And then comes back, which would put us probably at about right around 500 a ton once we get through pre-plant demand and you know side dress if there's any demand for anhydrous for that. So check that out as well.
What's your index at?
My index right now is at 543.31. This is my basket index on 528.32 last year. I mean, everything was basically higher. Anhydrous up $3. UAN up just a couple of cents. Urea, $3 higher. Phosphates up just a little tiny bit, but still at a wide margin. Potash was our only decliner, down $1.24. New crop revenue is up at $11.90, and that was Friday on, at 404. So we're even higher than that today. Diesel down another penny to 236. Propane a penny higher at $1.47 per gallon. Like I said, ProFarmer.com. Click on the inputs tab. There's lots to read there. Lots of links to the EIA stuff. You can get my thoughts and then also the original articles from which those thoughts derived.
Very cool. 6-10-day outlook from National Weather Service for the Ides of March to the 19th. Above normal temperatures across the entire Midwest with above normal rainfall. Let's wrap it up. Tweet of the day.
Today's tweets are brought to you by A Job Well Done. In a world of instant gratification, it's often prudent to take some time for the long game. And now today's tweets at Nebraska Agron 078. My oldest daughter just looked at me and said, I don't know what the big deal is about Bruno Mars. He's no Waylon. He says, ladies and gentlemen, my job on this planet is done. At Smilers 2, my 5-year-old came home with a head teacher's award, which surprised me. I didn't even know he was a head teacher. And one more from Ed Buck Foley. Sometimes when I end an email, I'll manually type sent from my iPhone to make it seem like I actually get out of the office every now and then.
Very now back good. To you. All right. Thanks for listening. Thanks, Mike Opperman. Monday on AgriTalk, Chuck Grassley. Monday afternoon on ATB, Dan Huber from the Huber Report. You all have a great weekend.
The Climate Field View platform gives you the digital tools to uncover data-driven insights so you can make better farm management decisions and get the most out of every acre. To learn what Climate Field View can do for your operation, contact your local dealer or visit climate.com for more information. Climate Field View services provide estimates or recommendations and do not guarantee results. More information at www.climate.com/disclaimers.
Putting in a hard day's work, doing the right thing, treating people with respect. American values as true as the wind that blows through our farms. For nearly 30 years, there's been an American company working side by side with farmers to harness the power of wind, creating local jobs and new reliable sources of income for small towns. We are NextEra Energy Resources, an American company, proud to bring clean, renewable energy home. Learn more at NextEraEnergyResources.com.